Good morning.
So let's start with Benjamin Netanyahu navigating being at war while being a prime minister in a coalition government. Can you tell us first about some of the complexities of this situation?
The Israeli political system requires coalitions. No prime minister in the country's history, and that includes Netanyahu, has ever enjoyed a majority in the Knesset, the Israeli parliament. And that's because of the idiosyncratic proportional representation electoral system they have. Now, on the one hand, the Israeli system is far more inclusive and diverse than Canada's first-past-the-post system. But on the other hand, every government has to be painstakingly cobbled together, one seat at a time from a wide array of parties to get to 61 seats or 51%. That also makes the Israeli system more brittle than ours. Small parties can demand disproportionate power for their support, and they can threaten to leave and collapse a government if they don't get it. And Netanyahu has been no exception. He's held a slender majority since 2022, and it's comprised of a coalition of ultra-right, ultra-nationalist, and ultra-religious parties. Not to mention the charges he faces domestically for corruption and the looming threat of an indictment from the International Criminal Court for war crimes related to the ongoing war in Gaza. Mm. In other words, he remains on thin ice. But I think the events of recent days, and here I'm thinking about the Israeli attacks on Hezbollah and the Iranian ballistic missile attacks against Israel, I think these are likely to improve Netanyahu's prospects.
Why is that?
Well, the attacks of October 7th were probably the single greatest challenge to Netanyahu's popularity in his lengthy political career. He long presented himself as quote-unquote, Mr. Security. But October 7th was easily the biggest security breach in the country's history. Mm. Now, after the attack, centrist parties joined the coalition in a show of national unity. But disagreements on how to prosecute the war ultimately led to their departure. That was back in June. And it once again left Netanyahu with a narrow coalition. It left him beholden to his ultra-right, ultra-religious flanks. Now, Israelis, by and large, do not approve of Netanyahu's handling of the Gaza war. They want a ceasefire. They want the remaining Israeli hostages held by Hamas returned. And they want a plan for the day after. They don't want a forever war. They're sensitive to Israel's international standing. They don't want a permanent Israeli reoccupation, which would involve persistent casualties. And in the main, they don't want the reestablishment of settlements. But Netanyahu has begun to turn things around. In the past few weeks, he has promised to effect the return of the more than 60,000 Israelis who were evacuated from the north of the country near the border with Lebanon, which came under persistent rocket fire by Hezbollah on October 8th, a day after the initial Hamas attack. And he has begun to deliver on this promise. Israel has hobbled Hezbollah in recent weeks. Hassan Nasrallah and most of the other senior commanders of the organization have been killed in various strikes. A respectable portion of their rocket and missile stores have been wiped out in aerial attacks, and their middle management has been broken in the pager and walkie-talkie attacks of late September. This has effectively raised Netanyahu's popularity significantly in the country. Indeed, so much so that Gideon Saar and his right-wing New Hope Party joined the coalition Sunday last in what must be considered a vote of confidence of his handling of Hezbollah. This gives Netanyahu another four seats for a total today of 68. Hmm. Now, that gives him some breathing room, but still, if either the ultra-Orthodox or ultra-rightist parties bolt the coalition, that's it. That's the end. That would trigger an election.
You've talked about so many things hanging in the balance here, and we're talking about this, of course, on the one-year anniversary since those devastating attacks on October 7th. As you framed out, this is now a much wider, a multi-front conflict with a more complicated end that I'm having trouble seeing. What are you watching for?
Well, I am watching two things right now very closely. The conflict has indeed begun to metastasize. And I'm watching first whether Netanyahu will make good on his promise to retaliate against Iran and in what form that response will take. Remember that in April, Iran launched a massive attack against Israel, drones, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles. Though nearly all of those were intercepted, it was the first time that Iran attacked Israel directly. Now, Israel's response to that attack was muted. It was a single attack on an Iranian airfield, largely symbolic. But things have since escalated since then. Iran lobbed another 180 ballistic missiles against Israel less than a week ago on October 1. That was in response to the assassination of Hezbollah's leader, Ismail Haniyeh, in late September, and Hamas's then leader, Hassan Nasrallah, in July, both by Israel. Now, again, the Iranian attack was mostly thwarted by Israeli and American air defense systems. But this time, Netanyahu has vowed a much more full-throated response. Naftali Bennett, that is Netanyahu's primary challenger for prime minister, has called on Netanyahu to strike on Iran's nuclear program. And with Hezbollah hobbled, Iran doesn't enjoy the deterrence against Israel that it did even a few weeks ago. So I'm going to watch for an Israeli retaliation, whether it's directed against Iran's nuclear facilities, and if it's only partially successful, which is likely, whether the U.S. will follow up with its own strikes. Now, President Biden has suggested that the Americans will not do so, but a partial strike would embolden Iran to surpass the nuclear breakout stage, which Biden has vowed to prevent. Second, I'm going to be watching the ground invasion in Lebanon. Israel has indeed hobbled Hezbollah's capacities, but not so much so that it can't put up a fight. So I'm going to watch to see whether Israel will get bogged down in southern Lebanon. And I think the answers to these questions will not only determine the fate of the Netanyahu government, but frankly, the prospects for a wider regional war.
Professor, really good to speak with you today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Levin is an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. He was in Halifax.